This is Mac Duncan. Welcome to episode 4 of Essays from the Middle. We're breaking rule 5 this week. We're going to get political. This episode will go public on July 4th, Independence Day, the day we are expected to celebrate the United States of America. But it's a little hard to celebrate the USA right now, considering one-third of our federal branches is actively trying to transform our country into a theocracy. I've already thrown out a chunk of what I've written for this week because some of it was just too angry. Two-thirds of the people sitting on the Supreme Court are wrong. Probably won't go into more detail than that. I don't have much to say that hasn't already been said. I do have a couple of light and harmless segments planned, so it's not all gloom and doom. Let's get started. Let's be honest. The Democrats are not saints. The Democrats disappoint us. A lot. Especially people like Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. They're not serving their constituents. They're serving Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. It's embarrassing to say, but Sinema is my senator. She represents my state. I voted for her. I don't want to vote for her again. She won her seat in 2018, so her six-year term won't be up for renewal until 2024. I've heard pundits say that she'll probably survive a primary challenge. I'm not so sure. When you make a name for yourself as one of the worst senators in your party, when you become the face of obstructing progress, you're going to piss some people off. I will vote for a primary challenger. But if Sinema does survive a primary in 2024, I'll probably have to vote for her. Because as bad as she is, she still has a D by her name. And her presence in the Senate, for now, helps secure the majority. And the Republicans in our state are way worse. A Republican-run state Senate spent millions of dollars on an audit of the 2020 election conducted by a shady company called Cyber Ninjas. The conclusion of the audit recount, Biden won by more. Funny how the same election that won Arizona's electors for Biden, the same ballots, also elected a Republican majority in both Arizona state houses. If the Democrats were going to cheat, wouldn't we do it all the way down the ballot? If the ballots that elected Biden were invalid, doesn't that invalidate all the races? It's the current Republican Party that is causing most of our angst. The erosion of our rights under the current Supreme Court is a direct result of how we vote in every election. Every election. Everyone in the House of Representatives is up for re-election every 2 years. Approximately one-third of the Senate is on the table every 2 years. Almost every state house and about half of our state governors go up every 2 years. These elections help determine what laws are passed at both state and federal level. It's not enough to just pay attention when it's a presidential year. We need to vote blue down ticket until we have a more progressive government. And we need to hold them accountable by participating in primaries. Kyrsten Sinema can't be our best option every time. The Democrats might not do enough, but they're less likely to take away our rights. I'll be talking about a few pop culture things today. I promise to be spoiler-free. A couple days before recording this, I took my wife to see Jurassic World Dominion at the IMAX. It's been about 10 years since I've watched a movie in that theater, and I forgot how loud it can get, particularly with explosions, dinosaur roars, and any part of the score that had a heavy bass. It reminded me of the first time I went to that particular IMAX more than 20 years ago. When they first opened the place, every feature included a 2-minute presentation showing off the facility. At one point, the screen was lit in such a way that it exposed the massive speakers sitting behind it. The presentation was narrated by James Earl Jones. Can you think of a more ideal voice to demonstrate your subwoofer than Mr. Darth This Is CNN Vader himself? So, it was a little loud, and my wife spent much of the film plugging her very sensitive ears with her fingers. I think the next time we take in the IMAX, I'll bring the earplugs with me. Still a good time. It was the first time that we had sat inside a movie theater with other people since 2019. As for the movie itself, I know a lot of critics and even some people I know are a little down on this one. So it's not going to win any Oscars. But it brought together the original trilogy leads with the next-gen protagonist, and it had dinosaurs. Lots and lots of dinosaurs. There was no shortage of dinosaurs in this movie. And there was a lot of movie in this movie. It's the most movie I've seen in a movie since Marvel's Endgame. So it delivers on what it promised. And seeing dinosaurs on the IMAX screen does give them a real sense of scale. My wife really wants to see Avatar 2 at the IMAX when it comes in December. I'm glad the first Avatar is available on Disney Plus, so we can re-watch that and remember what we're supposed to care about. Any actor connected with the character of Darth Vader, who isn't named James Earl Jones, has gotten a raw deal from Star Wars and its fandom. During the days of the original trilogy, actor and bodybuilder David Prowse filled in the Darth Vader suit. He learned the dialogue and played the scenes on camera like any actor. He didn't know until he saw the final print of 1977 Star Wars that his dialogue had been ADR'd by Jones, with his now iconic baritone. Would it actually be a bass? Regardless, Prowse was further disrespected when he was misquoted in a London tabloid in an article that essentially spoiled the big twist of Empire Strikes Back. I can't verify this, but it's been rumored that the Empire Strikes Back scandal was the reason we see Sebastian Shaw under the mask during Anakin's death scene in Return of the Jedi, and not Prowse. Shaw also appeared as Anakin's Force ghost in the original release of Jedi, but the extra special edition on DVD replaces Shaw's ghost with Hayden Christensen. And speaking of Hayden Christensen, let's talk about prequels. Poor Jake Lloyd. I get it. Phantom Menace is a weird and sometimes boring movie. It's odd to watch this 9-year-old child, and I guess root for him, knowing where he's going to end up. I think the aging fandom of my generation was not on board with watching Darth Vader as an innocent 9-year-old. That wasn't Jake Lloyd's problem. That was our problem. And Jake Lloyd got an all-around raw deal. I'm glad he's doing a little bit better now, but he's had a rough time since then. Which brings me back to Hayden Christensen. In Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith, Hayden Christensen gave us Anakin as an angsty teenager and grows to a stubborn, impulsive young man. Again, aging fans of Gen X. If we had a problem with this, we probably had not yet acknowledged what kind of punks we were as teens, and we were probably watching Revenge of the Sith as stubborn, impulsive young men. And let's be real, all of Star Wars is corny. They are all corny films full of corny fun that shouldn't be taken too seriously. So why bring it up? Last month, Disney Plus treated us to a new Obi-Wan Kenobi series set at the midpoint between the first two trilogies. There's a lot to say about this show, but I promise no spoilers, and I'll focus on the topic at hand. Hayden Christensen, as Darth Vader, delivers. An interesting thing about this performance. This is the first time, apart from stunts, that Vader, with the costume, is played by just one actor. We still hear James Earl Jones, sort of. We reached a point with the technology that Christensen's voice can be modulated in post to sound like James Earl Jones. So it's Hayden Christensen in the suit, and it's Hayden Christensen delivering the dialogue. And while we are hearing the iconic voice of Vader, it's definitely Christensen's line reads and his interpretation. This is the Anakin Skywalker we saw Obi-Wan leave for dead in Revenge of the Sith. This is the man who has been carrying rage for over a decade, and he is just as scary and intimidating as ever. Also fills in some of what we missed in the prequels. What do you do with the mad that you feel? When you feel so mad you could bite. When the whole wide world seems oh so wrong, and nothing you do seems very right. What do you do? Do you punch a bag? Do you pound some clay or some dough? Do you round up some friends for a game of tag? Or see how fast you can go? It's great to be able to stop when you've planned a thing that's wrong and be able to do something else instead and think this song, I can stop when I want to, can stop when I wish, I can stop anytime. And what a good feeling to feel like this and know the feeling is really mine. Know that there's something deep inside that helps us become what we can. For a girl can be someday a woman, and a boy can someday be a man. Those lyrics come from the late Fred Rogers and his television program, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. I've had to ask myself this week what I can do, what I should do, with the mad that I feel. In my house, we've been revisiting Mr. Rogers. First from the 2018 documentary, Won't You Be My Neighbor? And through the 2019 film, Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. The latter is a tad disappointing. Tom Hanks is great as Mr. Rogers, but the film isn't really about Mr. Rogers, but an Esquire journalist writing an article about Mr. Rogers. But back to Mr. Rogers. In a time when everything is making us angry, we need more Mr. Rogers. Amazon Prime has a handful of episodes of the old PBS series, and we've been watching them, and they've been giving us comfort. When Mr. Rogers talked to the camera, he was speaking to each individual viewer. And when looking at a 50-year-old recording of a program made for children, this 48-year-old man can feel Mr. Rogers speaking directly to him. The message is always the same and always important to hear. Every person is valuable. Every person, no matter what, is special. You don't have to be spectacular to be loved. You are loved just for being you. Thank you for listening to Essays from the Middle. Essays from the Middle is a product of Carefree Wright Enterprises, LLC. Today's music provided by Alex Grohl, Julius H., Alex Make Music, and Music Unlimited. These and other tracks available at pixabay.com. Available episodes of Essays from the Middle can be found at Podbean, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, Amazon Music, Pandora, and YouTube. For early access and bonus recordings, please support our Patreon page at patreon.com/MacDuncan, MacDuncan. All material for Essays from the Middle, written and recorded by Mac Duncan. Copyright 2022, Carefree Wright Enterprises, LLC, all rights reserved.